Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk hormones, menopause, and how strength training ties them both together. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, Jim.
What's up?
How's it going?
I feel great.
Yeah?
I feel great.
Welcome to Colorado.
Yeah, we made it up here.
I know. It's exciting. Beautiful. We've been recording a lot of these in Austin, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's June. Austin's too hot.
It's a little warm.
Yeah.
It's a little warm.
And we got some exciting stuff going on up here in Colorado, our Denver region. We've got some cool studios doing some really big things.
Yeah, Denver's doing great.
Yeah, it's cool to be out here. So yeah, it's exciting. So we're going to kick this episode off today talking about a common question we're getting right now, which is hormones. Mm-hmm. How does exercise impact hormones? What hormones does it impact? Is it impacting it in a good way, a negative way? And so maybe we start there and we can go a little deeper into some specific stages like menopause, stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, the first thing is to understand that hormones are chemical messengers that travel throughout the body, and they then have their effects on whatever the target cell is. And all of your tissues have receptor sites on their cell membranes that identify and connect with different hormones as they travel through the blood. Next thing you should know is that they are released in pulsatile fashion. So they're not just the same amount in your blood all of the time. So whatever hormone about which you're talking, whether it's testosterone or estrogen or progesterone or pregnenolone or cortisol or whatever, there's a long, long list, those are all released by glands in the body at different times for different reasons. And this all functions on like a 24-hour circadian cycle, but there's also other things that you can do to influence the amount that is produced and the timing that's produced. So where it comes to exercise, especially high quality, concentrated contractions of muscle, that causes a series of events. Like, you ever play the game Mousetrap?
Yeah.
When you're a kid? Yeah. So this hits that and that flings this and the ball does this. This is a little bit like that, where you have a workout and the target muscles contract forcefully in a safe way. And then depending on whether you're a man or a woman, you'll have a testosterone rise, or your receptor sites will become more sensitive. Or we had a question earlier about cortisol,
mm-hmm.
and it's the stress hormone. Cortisol bad. That's usually the message that people get. But cortisol not bad. Cortisol is only bad when it's chronically elevated. It's like the book Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. It's that idea of there's high cortisol when the zebra is being chased. If you survive, then very quickly it goes back down to basement levels and you're fine. So the cortisol is not bad in that case. In fact, it becomes necessary to spur on the fight or flight reaction. Another common release of cortisol is in the mornings. So you are in deep sleep and it's 2 a.m., it's 3 a.m., starting around 4 a.m., cortisol starts to increase slowly, and at a certain point it wakes you up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the waking process. The melatonin descends, the cortisol goes up, and you wake up and you are in a state of alertness, and then it peaks sort of in the morning and then comes back down and has a later peak. But that's a circadian rhythm to that every day. And you need that. You need that to wake up in the morning. You need that to be functional. So our workouts can, much like the zebra being chased, our workouts involve high levels of force production, high levels of fatigue accomplished very quickly.
Okay. What
does that sound like? That sounds like running from a predator. That sounds like fighting a rival. That sounds like this type of the hunting. And so that's what we're mimicking on a chemical basis with the hormones in our body. And as a result, we have these downstream adaptations that are highly desirable that we can get. And part of the mix, the recipe of the things that are good and produce this effect, happens to be this cortisol spike. And there's growth hormone spike and testosterone spike and all these other desirable things outside of the normal circadian rhythm. But the idea is we don't want to do that all of the time. So it's intense, but it is brief because it's intense.
Can we speak a little bit to, so let me see if I heard you right. Hormones, sometimes hormones, I think, are this big word. It's like, I don't really know what it is, but it's important. Mm-hmm. What you're really saying here is hormones are messengers, simply.
Yep.
They're just messengers. So they go through the body like little messenger people, and they signal things. Time for this, time for that. So the good example you gave, cortisol is this messenger that has a really bad rap. But we really need cortisol, especially when it comes to stuff we talked about in a prior episode, sleep, circadian rhythm, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So there's these messengers. They're going around. We want them. We want them when they're necessary.
Right.
One thing related to cortisol that I've seen, and I don't know what to make of this, but So what I'm trying to get to here is a question around, how is it that when you train heavily or you increase these things acutely, it's sort of like your blood pressure getting increased acutely when you strength train or when you're in a sauna, which we'll talk about in the future.
Sure.
How is doing that purposely and acutely something that actually makes it more beneficial over time? Meaning when you're doing that acutely, chronically, your levels are more easily managed or are lower. Does that make sense?
Yeah. A lot of people sometimes fail to make a distinction between the cortisol rise, as an example, from a workout versus the cortisol rise from having a high stress job or coming home after that job and having a high stress household. If you have prolonged stress, the level of cortisol at baseline is higher.
Okay.
And so you are you become adapted to it, just like an alcohol tolerance or insulin resistance. You become tolerant to it. And so if your cortisol is already high all day because of a stressful or undesirable situation that is prolonged, that can lead to problems. The presence of high cortisol like that leads to problems. And you never get those top end levels like you would in a workout. You just have this nagging, undesirable but persistent high cortisol. Compare that to the person who has great home life, nice job without a lot of stress, and then purposely under his or her own control spikes their cortisol so that there's this massive rush when you are contracting with maximum force or at maximum levels of fatigue. That cortisol, that then when you're done, instantly drops to the floor. That's beneficial. Okay. So that gives your body, and we talked about the receptor sites on all of your cells. Literally what happens is the molecule, the messenger, docks to the cell membrane and has instructions. Hey, I need you to build this protein. And then the message gets sent to the nucleus, and then that new protein is produced and travels, leaves the cell, and goes into the bloodstream. So that whole process is large and in charge. It is of a great magnitude when you spike the cortisol. But when you just raise the cortisol and keep it there because you have the stress that never ends, that's when you become resistant to the message that the cortisol is trying to tell.
So you're really training your body. All these things are happening when you strength train. It's sort of that acute stressors that train your body to release these things and to put these things at the right level so that when you're going throughout the rest of your life, the management of these messengers, the management of the receptors are working more correctly and are just more open to the messages.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been sort of chronically numb to the static.
Yep.
And we're talking about a lot of these messengers, testosterone, estrogen, et cetera.
Yep.
You're keeping those things sensitive enough so that they can do their job when it comes to just day-to-day life, whether it's stress, managing anxiety, sleep, cycles for women. And speaking of, another thing that's really, really, we can't talk about hormones without talking about menopause.
Yeah.
We have a lot of members, right, that come to us specifically because they're in the middle of menopause or they're getting into menopause and they've been told they should strength train. We also have lots of people, I know some personally, that avoid strength training and exercise during menopause because it's more challenging due to the fact that these hormones are sort of all over the place. And so they feel more fatigued, more tired, more irritable. Why would I get up and go force myself to strength train? I wonder if you can speak a little bit to the benefits of strength training, through menopause.
Yeah, I'd say it's very similar to, at the very least, when somebody has arthritis. Should I strength train with arthritis? And you go, well, strength training won't fix your arthritis, but I'd rather have arthritis with very, very strong muscles being functional than arthritis and being weak. Strength is never a weakness. Weakness is never strength. So same thing with menopause. The first thing is that even if you still have the symptoms of menopause, wouldn't you rather have those symptoms while being stronger, while being fitter, while being more metabolically capable? And the answer for most people would be yes. The second thing is it's a little bit of a use it or lose it where, well, I'm having some symptoms of menopause. I don't feel like I should take up strength training right now. I'll go do this other type of exercise. The reason that is a little bit misguided is because any type of exercise has the effects that it does have based on the contraction of muscle against resistance. And whether you're doing Pilates or using elastic bands or going for a jog or whatever it is, any benefit that is derived from downstream effects of contraction with muscle. Mm-hmm. So you buy into the principle, you're doing Pilates or you're doing yoga, you're doing whatever. So I know that you know that contraction with muscle is good for you.
Right.
And so if we're both on the same side there, why would you not go for the most efficient, the safest, and the most potent type of contraction with muscle, which is the types of workouts we do at The Perfect Workout?
Yeah.
And so, well, I'm not sure I should go that intensely. Well, you don't have to.
Right.
So long as you're doing more on a consistent basis than you did previously, you're getting progressive overload.
Yeah.
You're getting strength training. You're getting the bone density benefit, the tendon and ligament resilience. You're getting the metabolic flexibility. You're burning sugar every time you come in out of your largest reservoir of sugar, the skeletal muscles. Mm-hmm. So you're getting everything that you want, and you don't need to bust a gut and have it be the most intense workout of your life. That's maybe not what we're here for.
Right.
Maybe for you in that situation, we're just trying to load the muscles. We're just trying to contract against resistance without hurting you, without wasting your time.
Yeah.
And so this is perfect for menopausal women specifically, because menopausal women need to exercise. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
And every exercise works only when it works, because of the downstream effects of muscle contraction. And it just so happens that what we do at The Perfect Workout is the most targeted, most potent form of muscle contraction against resistance that is available right now.
Right, which you pair those two conversations together. We have hormones, menopause, and then the intensity level here, what happens during menopause. And it brings up the topic of osteoporosis. We don't have time to go into that in this episode, so we'll do that in a future episode. Mm-hmm. But really, the message today, no pun intended, is hormones.
Nice.
These are the messengers in your body. And we're no endocrinologists, but the point is, this is another one of those really nice standard yeses across the board. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hormone management, specifically in challenging times like menopause, strength training is a benefit to managing those messengers, to managing the timing and the sensitivity to those messengers, how they interact with each other, including things like sleep. But the gambit, you know, is why when it comes to managing your hormones, sleep being the most potent thing,
yep.
You know, proper nutrition, proper hydration,
yep.
Things like other ways of managing your stress. But heavy strength training would be at the top of that list too. So
yep.
This is a bullet in the belt, so to speak, that you need to use when it comes to managing your hormones. And when you're in times of hormone disruption, taking this strategy off of the table is not a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. Look at that.
We solved it.
Yeah, we did good. In Colorado, talking about hormones after some good sleep.
See, crushing it. We can go home after this.
That's right.
Awesome.
Cool, man. I'll see you next time.
Next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.